Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. We're going to kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good over here. How are you doing over there?
Pretty good. I wish you could see what I'm wearing right now. I'm in a tank top. It's a Hawaiian theme. It's got all these bright colors.
All right.
Something you'd wear in the middle of summer, you know?
Does your coffee have a little umbrella in it? Does it? It should.
That is what I'm missing. Thank you. I knew there was something.
That's it. That's all you're missing. There you go.
So does that mean we're going to be able to have our windows open today, Brittany?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Roll those windows down. Open them up in the house. Get outside. Wear some shorts because summer is here for today. Like that? But I'm sorry. Goodness gracious. We already broke across the state record high overnight low temperatures. So what I'm saying is our lows were the warmest that they have been on this day in history.
I was going to say, that was a little confusing. I'm glad you clarified.
Yes. So, for example, right, I in Wausau, 53 degrees was the warmest. Well, we were at 54 degrees this morning. That is as cold as we got. So we're already, you know, starting our day off with where our high temperatures should be. So you know it's upside down weather. It's going to be windy. It's going to be warm. It's going to be record shattering statewide because gusts are going to be pumping up to 30 to 40 miles per hour out of the south, both today, tonight. It's going to spike us to highs of about 80 degrees today. It's going to be mostly sunny and just summery.
I'm going to go get my shorts. I really thought I had the last chance to wear them this weekend, but now I have another opportunity, so I'm going to go get those. You guys got the show, right? You guys can take care of them.
Sure, we can talk about the influx of Asian lady beetles we're going to have today.
Yeah, right. My dad is, those are driving my dad crazy. They're driving my father crazy. He's driving.
And they bite.
Brittany, we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. You have a good morning.
You too, thanks.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot. We got good stuff on the way for you, everybody. It is soup season. We're going to be talking about that.
Maybe not today, but okay. Yep.
We've got a couple of other fun ones. A new study about do-gooders, and are they more good-looking? I don't know. I didn't pre-read that one. And Norway isn't doing something kind of interesting. Whether it's this hour or next hour, Melissa, I want to get into this about them possibly Norway is banning young teens from social media. We want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Get into that one. 9 o'clock hour, we're kicking things off with Rebecca Mortensen. She is of AM Forestry. They are a new chamber member. They're going to be joining us to talk about their local family-owned business and their removal service. And they do some actually really cool stuff with trees and removal. I want to get into with Rebecca. It's going to be a good conversation. Looking forward to her talking about local and supporting local. We will kick off the 9 o'clock hour with that and some entertainment news a little bit later. Get into all of that for you. And got a couple of other interesting stories. We'll see what we have time for here, Melissa. I want to kick things off right here in a couple spots. First, a new poll. We are in election season. And we here, of course, not only at WFHR and WIRI, but civic media in general. We support democracy. That's what we're about. We are not in anybody's pocket. We have an owner that has plenty of money. We have always been a bipartisan station here at WFHR. You can tell during our commercial breaks. We play attack ads from everybody. But we also, sometimes we have to get into heavier conversations with these things. And I would like us all to be able to be friends about this, right, Melissa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, that's what democracy is all about.
If it's not a democracy we're promoting, it's unity and bringing us together more and everything.
So there is more that brings us together than pushes us apart.
So true. So we got to get into this new poll. Campbell's Soup released its annual Thanksgiving poll on America's favorite side dishes. And the major upset.
Never mind. This divides everyone.
Yep. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. Mashed potatoes is not number one. It fell to number two.
I bet your little heart is so happy, James.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're like cheering over there. I can see it. You're wearing pom poms, and you got like your I don't know fireworks headband on.
I'm doing all the I never was in cheer, but I'm trying to do all the cheers that I saw in football. The top five are stuffing. Stuffing took the number one spot.
Yes,
I am a fan of stuffing. I do like stuffing.
Oh, stuffing is so good.
Potatoes came in at number two, sweet potatoes at number three, green bean casserole at number four, and mac and cheese at number five.
Okay.
Now, I'm joking about, the divisiveness and all that, but the mac and cheese thing is interesting. Whenever this one comes up, there are a lot of people, some of our southern listeners who will say that that's a main dish. And it's not a side dish. And that, up here in the Midwest, it's a bit more of a side dish.
Well, or it's not a dish at all.
Yeah.
I've never had mac and cheese on my Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that that would probably be the closest to them. Other than the
not
whole,
that I object to it. Mac and cheese is awesome.
Gotta
it's
love
amazing.
Mac and cheese.
I can't personally eat it myself unless it's non-dairy, which isn't as good.
Yeah,
let's be real.
So true. 56% of Americans like Thanksgiving sides more than the entree, or so turkey, ham, or some sort of thing that's in there.
Some protein.
Yeah, and 38% say that they'd be fine to fill their plate with just side dishes.
Yeah, same.
Also, 43% of adults say that they will celebrate Friendsgiving this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't even gotten to Halloween yet, but we are already discussing side dishes and everything. But
it's never too early to plan for side dishes.
Yeah, well,
it's food.
There's a lot of prep that has to go into Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as maybe Christmas, but
Thanksgiving,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving is almost a bigger food gathering than Christmas. Because the food at Thanksgiving is the main focus. Christmas, sometimes for some people, it's presents. For kids, it's always presents. But for the rest of us, Thanksgiving is like the main food holiday.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is definitely the one that where the food is the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. That is much more the case in that one.
Cornucopia.
Whereas with Thanksgiving, Christmas, there's a lot more, pomp and circumstance. There's a lot more other things going on with that one. But
it has a main character.
Yes.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the main character for Thanksgiving?
Family. Family is the main, that's good, Melissa. Nicely done. But as far as America's side dishes, what do you think out there? 715-424-2600. Join us on the Civic Media app if you'd like. What is the main side dish for you for Thanksgiving? Because according to this poll, they got stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, and then mac and cheese. Where do you fall on this one, everybody? Let us know. Curious to know what you're thinking.
And I think that the green bean casserole and the sweet potato should swap places.
Oh, okay.
As much as I love them both, and I love that all four of my favorites are in the top favorite, I would probably replace mac and cheese with cranberries.
Ooh.
Cranberry sauce.
See, now that's I think that's 100% the right idea. I think that's a good call.
Because cranberries are so iconic, especially here. I mean, we produce most of them.
Right.
And then also iconic Thanksgiving ingredient. You have to have it.
I'm curious what you guys think out there. Let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. 715-424-2600. That was a fun one. That was interesting. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Before we dive into that, though, I did want to remind everybody about our newsletter.
Yes, you have to sign up for our newsletter. James, I'm excited. The subscriptions are pouring in. I see new ones multiple times a day. It's so exciting. So if you want to join the crowd of people joining up for our newsletter, WFHR.com. It's on our main page, WisCountry.com. You can sign up right there. You'll get the newsletter in your inbox a little bit after noon on Thursdays, and it'll give you an overview of the articles that we published this week, the news that happened in our local area, and upcoming events, what we're airing on our stations for sports, the sport games that are coming up over the weekend, the happenings that are happening over the weekend. Happenings are happening, James.
Happenings are happenings.
And you need to know when they're happening by signing up for our newsletter.
This is your premier source for Central Wisconsin news, everybody. Nobody is covering the things or covering things like we are. And you can sign up for it. You can get it right to your email box. You know, you don't even have to go ahead and run around looking for it or anything like that. It comes right to you. Go to WFHR.com. Sign up for the newsletter. It could not be easier.
The best part is it's free.
Yeah, it's free. And
it's free. There's no paywalls.
Yeah. You know, you might want to, too, not for nothing, you might want to get on this one early because everybody else, you know, everybody's getting in on it. You don't want to be the last person on the trend. You know, you want to be the last person together. Get in on this now, everybody. And thank you so much to everybody who already has spread the word about this newsletter.
Absolutely.
And a shout out to everybody and all the great work going in on that one. Mm-hmm. We will take a time out. We'll come back after this break here and take care of our partners. Come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR. It is time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and our great friends over at El Cafe. Go visit them today. They're open, everybody.
Yes, they are.
221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Check out some of their great specials they got going on today for breakfast, lunch, and keep in mind they got a great Friday fish fry lined up as well. Be sure to make plans for that, everybody.
Friday's not that far away. Let's be real.
Get out.
But today
they're
going to fill you up for breakfast. Did you see what they have for breakfast today, James?
Pork chop or hamburger patty?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's a hearty breakfast.
Yeah, that is. That is, yeah. They're serving that. Or if you're going to get over there for lunch, a hot ham or grilled chicken breast. Got great sides over there as well. You can decide if you want mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes or green bean casserole or, you know. go ahead and find out what their favorite sides are over there. Great people over there at El Cafe.
Absolutely. And I love that they've added to their menu not only the chicken dumpling soup, which is fantastic, but now it's called Ezekiel's Famous Chicken Dumpling Soup.
Nice. I like that. Oh,
no,
that's
it's
cool.
So good.
That's
if you haven't had it, you have to have it.
Yeah, got to get over there. It's been too long since I've been there. You get over there. I'll meet you there, everybody. 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Info@WFHR.com. You can email any of our staff, james.maleff@civicmedia.us or melissa.k@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, hit us up on our Facebook pages, direct message us through there, or call up.
That's right. You can call up 715-424-2600. Or, James, I just thought of a new way they could let us know. Snail mail.
Snail mail. There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
When's the last time you used snail mail?
Honestly, we love getting letters.
We do.
We really do.
We get postcards from our listeners. It is so great.
Yeah. So, Melissa's not kidding. Go ahead and email, mail them to us, everybody. Yeah. That's fine. Might want to, it takes a little while to get here, so you might not want to wait until the day before.
We all know how long it takes to send a letter.
No. We appreciate you guys getting a hold of us. Morse code, smoke signals, whatever you got to do, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. And love the call-ins. Call up, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. It's one-button dialing with the Civic Media app, which is also free, like our newsletter.
Yeah, thanks a lot for everybody who has downloaded the app already. That thing has been pretty popular, too. We appreciate that, everyone. I need a one or a two, Melissa.
One.
All right, gives us the qualifier. We can get right into it. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Randy Weigel.
Happy birthday, Randy.
Randy Wiegand. Randy Wiegand.
Randy, you have an awesome birthday.
Enjoy your day, Randy. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish happy birthday to our qualifier, Caroline Mansell.
Happy birthday, Caroline.
Enjoy your day, Caroline. Hope it's a good one for you. Wishing you the best of days. Brag to all your friends, family, animals, all the above, that you are our qualifier today. And we're just
I love the vision of sitting down with your cat.
Yes.
I'm the qualifier today. Aren't you excited?
The cat needs to know. The cat may have not heard.
And the cat just stares at you with its cat eyes going, why are you talking to me?
All the cat
serve me, human.
It's just want, want, want food, want, want, want treats, want, want, want. That's all they hear. We appreciate everybody getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. Taking a look at our celebrity list right now. Let's see here. It's a thin list, Melissa. Gabrielle Union is 52. Wonderful actor.
Who is she?
She's been in a couple of movies, a couple of TV shows here and there and stuff. She's a good actor.
Oh, yeah. She looks familiar. She was in Bring It On, Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You. That had to be one of her early ones.
She's a good actor. She hasn't been acting as much. Her and Dwayne Wade are married, and they've been doing a lot of, like, a lot more outreach work, involvement with the rainbow community. Been very busy outside of the acting community.
She's an activist and author.
Yeah, yeah. And she's really good. She's really good at all those things. Her husband's amazing. Dwayne Wade, Chicago's own Marquette grad, Hall of Famer, just had a statue unveiled of him that doesn't look like him. We can't make sculptures, Melissa. We've lost all the good artists. We need to put money in the arts because we used to be able to make sculptures and we can't make them anymore. Do yourself a favor.
We need money in the arts, James?
Do yourself a favor if you need a laugh this morning. You, Melissa, or anybody out there, especially none of you sports fans, look up the bronze statue of Ronaldo and the most recent statue of Dwayne Wade. They look nothing like these individuals at all.
I mean, he's a handsome man.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's hard to mess that up.
I think Dwayne would be the first to tell you he's the second most talented person in that family, because Gabrielle is incredible. Dwayne's got a Hall of Fame career. He's one of my favorite players I've ever seen, but Gabrielle's incredible.
Oh my goodness. No, that looks nothing like him. That's horrifying.
Isn't it?
Oh my. Please, actually, you know what? Do yourself a favor. Don't look it up.
Yeah, maybe
I did
not.
It for maybe, you. Maybe. You don't need to. It's kind of nightmarish.
The Ronaldo one's even worse.
I'm not going to look that up. Nope, I'm done.
The great, the wonderful, the amazing Winona Ryder is 53 today.
I love her.
Oh, God, I love Winona Ryder. I would give anything to work with Winona Ryder. And I think that, like, there's a lot of actors that I can hold my own with. And, one of the last things you want to do is be a fanboy around actors when you're on set. You got a job to do. They want to be treated like anybody else, all that. I don't think I'd be very good around Winona Ryder. I don't know that would end well. And I'm not saying I'd make a fool of myself by not being able to speak my lines or talk. It takes me a good couple of minutes. It take me a little while. I've admired her, and I'll admit, early on in life, she was an early crush of mine and everything, but it's more so just her talent that I really admire. I love her acting style. Mm-hmm. She has a very, if you're paying attention, she has a very Betty Davis, very throwback style of acting that she does with a very modern tone, a very modern approach. And she is a true thespian. She can do it all. I think she's been underrated in her career and underused. But if you watch Girl Interrupted, you watch some of the more dramatic roles she's had a chance. Heck, watch some of her darker stuff in Heathers. She can do it all. She's incredible.
Yeah, she absolutely can. And her birth name, Winona Laura Horowitz.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. I forgot.
I did not know that. Horowitz.
I know I'd heard that before because it sounded Jewish to me and I got excited. She's incredible. Great actress. 53 for Winona Ryder. Randy Jackson is 63. Tito, member of the Jacksons, Jackson 5. Let's see here. The great, the wonderful, one of the most amazing voice actors of all time, Dan Castellaneta, is 67 today. The voice of Homer on The Simpsons, along with Grandpa Simpson, Barney Gumble, Krusty the Clown, Groundkeeper Willie, Mayor Quimby, Hans Moleman. Dan Castellaneta is also a creative consultant on The Simpsons, and that is a role that they basically invented for him because he improv so many great lines that they had to give him credit as a writer when it came to, like, submitting to the Emmys and these things, and the Writers Guild and all that. The position that they created for him is something that you see all the time now, but it didn't really exist before him. Not creative consultant, but the specific title that they gave him on the show. He's also a good actor. You've seen him in a couple of cameos here and there and everything, but his work as Homer Simpson is some of the most iconic voice acting there will ever be, because it's not just Homer and what they created with the character of Homer and him coming up with a "don't," like, that's all him. In the script, it says annoyed grunt. Dan came up with the "don't," one of the greatest lines in TV.
Yeah, because you automatically know who that is as soon as you hear it. Even for those of us who aren't crazy Simpson fans, James.
Right. But you look at the work he does on that show, where there are multiple scenes where he's basically talking to himself as Homer. Homer is talking to Grandpa Simpson, or Homer is talking to Krusty the Clown, or something like that, where it's just him doing both of these voices. And if you get a chance to watch him doing it in the box, in the studio, it's amazing. He's a genius. Like, voice acting-wise, he is on the Frank Oz level of, and that's, I think, one of the highest compliments I can give.
And here's a little trivia for those of us who aren't huge Simpson fans that didn't know. Homer's voice kind of changed from the very beginning because Castanella began it as a loose impression of Walter Matthau.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get enough power behind the voice to sustain like 9-10 hour recording sessions. So he had to, you know, transform it into something a little easier for him to do those really long recording sessions. I think that's interesting.
It's so very interesting. If you watch the early pilot episode or some of the stuff that was on the Tracy Ullman show, because this whole thing started just to help the Tracy Ullman show, that was a live theater show, be able to change scenery and change costumes. They needed something to play while that was happening. They had this little animated 15-second, 30-second, you know, bit that would go on. It became more and more popular, and The Simpsons are what it is now. Dan was a cast member and a writer on the Tracy Ullman show. And that's how he got the part, basically. But that it's also where he got the Walter Matthau idea. And as if you listen to those early ones, it sounds almost identical to Walter Matthau. Who wants some frosty chocolate milkshakes? It's incredible how like his impersonating of that. It's a great tip of the hat to Walter Matthau. And also celebrating a birthday today, 77 for Richard Dreyfuss, amazing actor.
Ooh.
Very good actor. Matt and Jaws, of course, one of his famous roles. The Third Kind, something of The Third Kind. I can't remember what it was.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters. Mm-hmm. That's the one I think that really stands out. He's got a couple of them that really stand out.
Yeah, Mr. Holland's Opus, Stand By Me.
Mr. Holland's Opus. So many. Boy, that one was a. I watched that one, and that one took me by surprise. That was a good one. That was a moving movie.
And American Graffiti.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the one that he's most... I don't know if... Jaws is probably what he's
Jaws
most
is probably, yeah, yeah, that one's definitely... Even though I've never seen it.
And people no longer with us. Daniel DeCor Emmett, born in 1815. He wrote Dixie. And Kevin DeBurro, born in 1955. Quiet Riot's lead singer. No longer with us. And we wish a happy birthday and anniversary to everyone out there celebrating. Whether you got it to us or not, we wish you a great one. Keep in
Absolutely.
Mind, we'll take late entries, everybody.
Absolutely. All hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
All hour, all next hour.
Yep.
Why not?
Yeah.
Call up. 715-424-2600.
We'd love to hear from you. For now, we're going to take a time out, check in with our partners. When we come back, we're talking about soup season. Sort of. On the warmest day of last
okay.
warm day of the year.
I love soup. We can dream about it.
There we go. It's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash.
Trying to think of what the monster mash is. Do they tell us in the song what the specific dance is, the monster mash?
I don't know. I always like mashed potatoes.
Is it just
doing the dance?
Is the monster mash is it a punk song? Is it supposed to be, you're supposed to be in there, you know, just thrashing around? I don't know.
I'm not sure what the dance. However you decide to mash was good.
Yep, it's something monotone.
To each
that's
their
what
own.
It is. You're supposed to. Maybe it's more of a monotone movement.
It's a reserved mash.
Not so much. I'm not sure, but I do know that it is. We're getting, if not today, it is getting close to soup season.
Yes.
And according to Google, soup season is officially upon us. Soup related Google searches always spike in October, so they posted a bunch of soup centric stats.
Well, we've already had some cold temperatures, so those of us who are like, yay, soup, have already been making it.
Nice. Here are some of the bigger questions and some of the big things being debated or being brought up to our search engines. Soup versus stew versus chowder has been a breakout search this month. The main difference is consistency. Stews and chowders tend to be chunkier.
Or thicker, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Soup searches are up nationwide this month, but the states that's been Googling it the most is Vermont.
Well, they've already had snow.
Yeah, that's true.
So they should get a pass.
You know, and speaking of passing, I passed on that first one because I just got embarrassed. But I'll be honest, I didn't know there was a difference between soup, stew, and chowder. I was 47 years old when I learned that.
That's okay. You're not a big cook, James. I think you get a pass.
If they had more, I mean, they do have some, but not many Italian soups. Then maybe I might know soup a little bit better. But you're right. I don't make a lot of soups. So I guess it's understandable. But I guess I never looked at those words as that different, and it makes perfect sense now that mm-hmm. I'm hearing it, that of course they would be different things. I just didn't know. I didn't know that.
A soup is soupier, a stew is chunkier, potentially thicker, and a chowder usually has cream or milk in it.
Yeah, I think I've had one chowder in my life. Otherwise, it's always been soups. A stew mm-hmm. is okay, but I'm more of a soup guy, I think.
Okay.
The top trending soups we're Googling are roasted butternut squash soup, acorn Yum. Squash soup,
Yum.
And pumpkin soup.
Wow.
Never
Those
heard.
Are all kind of very similar.
Are they? Okay.
Well, yeah, they're all squashes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so all of those soups are going to be orange. Mm.
Yeah.
Which should make you a fan automatically.
I was just going to say, the pumpkin soup sounds pretty all right. I'll try that. but here's where it gets kind of fun. The top is blank a soup question. So is cereal a soup? Over 20,000 people took a BuzzFeed poll last year, and 1 in 8 people say yes. 12% of people out there think cereal is soup.
No.
Nope. No. Cereal is its own thing. It has no category. We give it a name, cereal, because we can't think of anything else, but it is
because we
amazing.
Don't call it soup.
Right. The other 88% said, no, that's silly. That's ridiculous. What are you talking mm-hmm. about? Cereal is not soup. here are the rest of the top five blank is blank a soup questions. Is chili a soup? Some people say it's a stew. Others think it's its own type of food altogether, similar to what I was saying with cereal.
Mm-hmm. Well, chili, I mean, obviously it has similarities to both soup and stew. It's usually always thick, but chili is such a huge category all on its own because there's so many varieties of chili.
Whether you're talking about the type of noodles or the type of chili itself or anything.
Made a whole bunch of people angry, James. Because some people, you put noodles in chili and now it's a goulash.
It's true.
And that is no longer a chili.
I
have to admit, I always thought chili had noodles because that's how my mom made it, because that's how she liked it.
Mm.
But I learned as an adult, no, you make people mad with saying that.
See, my Nana comes, much more from an immigrant country and immigrant style of cooking, and would put noodles in it because I feel like if you could put more into something, you would do it just to help,
you stretch
feed your
it.
Family. Yeah, stretch it out and everything. Yeah.
Adding pasta, definitely, adding carbs in there, that's going to be more filling. It's going to stretch it longer, further. So that's an important feature.
My mom made more of a traditional chili, just the chili, and she made it with beans, of course, for the family and stuff.
Right. So then it's, there's the other argument, beans or no beans?
No beans for me. No beans. But I'm not a bean guy. I don't like beans. Other than my little sister, I'm not a beans guy.
There's so many beans, James.
It's too many. Jelly beans. I'm all right with those. Jelly beans are good.
Dude.
Is menudo a soup? Yes, it's a traditional soup made with a tripe and a cow's stomach. It's a Puerto Rican soup. And it's also, of course, the name of a famous boy band from the 80s. So there's that too. There's a little confusion there, maybe.
I got to try tripe this last weekend when I was up in Duluth, and it was really good. I've never had it before. And now I'm not scared to order it again.
This one is interesting, especially to our southern listeners. Encourage you to call in if you get a chance. Is gumbo a soup? Some say yes, a hearty soup. Some say it's a stew. Now, I haven't grown up around a lot of Southerners or anything, but the family that was near us in where I was living in Chicago, they had two different family members that felt differently about this. Neither the husband or wife could agree on whether gumbo was a soup or not when my mom asked. I'll never forget that. These two loved each other, were very good together. This came up, and boy, they had division. They were separate on this issue. Didn't seem like anything else, but this one they were separate on.
And I think soup versus stew is kind of subjective. It's almost like pop or soda. Like they're similar, and maybe pop and soda isn't the good analogy because they are the same thing.
Yeah,
but soup and stew can, it is subjective to each their own. I'm not going to like get in a fight with somebody over soup versus stew.
Yeah.
Somebody calls my stew a soup. I'm not going to like throw it at them.
Yeah. And finally,
I mean, that might be fun.
I've never thrown like a food item at somebody. I always said,
but now I want to.
Kind of seems fun.
You call my stew a soup? I will show you stew as it sticks to your face.
I want to have like you know how they have nowadays. I don't know if they still. I know they were popular for a while. Those rooms where you can go in and just break stuff. That is those break rooms. I forget what they call them and everything.
I have no idea.
They have a name for them or something, but they have rooms like that. I want a room like that with food where I can just chuck food
just
at people.
Just go in and have a food fight? We don't need escape rooms. We need food fight rooms.
But I don't have to clean it up.
That's the thing. You'd never keep any staff on.
No.
unless it was built like an industrial bathroom that... Once everybody's finished and cleared out, all you got to do is go in and pick up the dishes, and then you have, like, spray nozzles that come out and hose the whole thing down.
Melissa, I think we may have just come up with a new business idea.
I think we may have,
yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we got a retirement plan. Woo! We got it.
All right. It'll be the newest sensation.
We'll start working on that, and maybe you'll hear about it in community stories with Melissa.
Maybe
you'll hear about it, everybody. I did want to take a moment to note that. We'll do that in a little bit because we got to wrap up here with our final question. Melissa, is ramen a soup? If you leave the broth in, most people say yes, it is a soup. Otherwise, it's considered just noodles.
Yeah, I mean, to be soup-like, you have to have a broth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have just made your ramen and then you're not including the broth, then I would say it's noodles. But yeah, I mean, so that's just dependent on how you like it. But ramen is also a wide variety of things you can do with it. There's so many things you can add to ramen to make it amazing. And if you've ever had real ramen, like made traditionally, it will blow your mind.
Yeah, that I have had. Had the original like that. I mean, should say like that before I had any of the store-bought stuff and everything. Very different. Very different. I've heard people compare it to if you've had, Mexican-made tacos and then you go to Taco Bell, and there's a gigantic difference between those.
Big difference.
Wanted to mention this one, too, before we wrap up, as long as we're talking a little food here. There is a new trend going around on social media, frozen gummy bears.
Oh.
You soak them in a spray. So I got a little video to go along with this. I'm going to see if this will play well or not for us here. Here's the audio of it.
Frozen gummy bears.
I saw someone do this, so I had to try it. But in a container, you're just going to put some 7-Up. She used like Japanese cider, but obviously I don't have that. But you're going to put it in an airtight container, and you're going to refrigerate this overnight. And then you're going to put them on a plate and then freeze them for about 3 hours minimum.
Smooth, icy consistency.
Mm-hmm. My kids and I got a real big kick out of this, and now I'm the cool mom.
So you're basically, you get yourself a classic Tupperware container. You throw some gummy bears in there, throw some 7-Up, or I think she said 7-Up or Sprite. You freeze it overnight, and then boom, you've got these frozen gummy bears that everybody's enjoying.
In a nice cube of 7-Up.
Yeah. It looks good. It looks fun. A lot of parents are sharing this because kids are enjoying it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This also will lead to a lot of other versions of this that adults do things with.
Could potentially, sure.
This is not going to end here. This is not where we leave off with this one. I think gummy worms would be fun to do with this too, though.
Oh yeah, there's so many fun things you can do that with, like putting it in a liquid and freezing it. Like ice cube trays are great for that.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine, like putting a gummy bear in each ice cube tray and filling that with 7-Up or whatever. That would be fun in your drink.
I like that. Yeah.
To have a floating bear encased in an ice cube.
I kind of like it. When we come back, we're going to get into not only a new show coming up for you very soon in November. We're less than a month away from. We'll be talking about that.
We are.
I got a couple of great stories about some young kids that we want to put a focus on out of some good stories of the day coming to us. All of that coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
There's a spooking Tin Pan Alley, walking on the piano keys. He's a jiving ghost who can make the most of his rhythmic tendencies. So better watch out, someone's about haunting the town with new kinds of rhythm. You may meet the boogie woogie boogeyman.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. A big thank you to the Bryan sisters and that boogie woogie woogie song. It's a fun one. The harmony, the harmonies back then, you know? There's nothing like it. We got some good stuff to get to take you to the top of the hour. Keep in mind, we're going to kick off the 9 a.m. hour with our friend Rebecca Mortensen. She is going to join us from AM Forestry. She's a new chamber member. We're going to talk a little bit about their locally family-owned business and tree removal service.
Talking about trees.
They do things a little bit different over there, and we're looking forward to talking about that. It's a fun, cool business that they've got running over there, and looking forward to diving into it. But we start right here, Melissa. Okay. With I'm going to give you guys a couple of random quick stories, and I encourage you to go out there and do your homework and read up on them. You can if you like, of course, but they're all waiting for you right at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. And so you don't even have to go to a bunch of different websites or anything like that. But I think that in we have a society that is getting more and more used to just reading headlines, and I want to encourage people to read articles. To read full articles, to not just go on headlines and stuff. So I'm going to try to tease you with these stories and encourage you to go ahead and follow through and read up on them, everybody. First up, a ninth grader from Snellville, Georgia, has won the 3M Young Scientist Challenge after inventing a handheld device designed to detect pesticide residues on produce.
Ooh.
Sirish Sabash has set himself apart with the AI-based sensor to win the grand prize of $2,500 cash and the prestigious title of America's top young scientist.
That's incredible.
Like a lot of inventors, Sirsa was intrigued with a curiosity with just a simple question. His mother always insisted that he wash the fruit before eating it, and the boy wondered if that preventive action actually did any good. And he learned that 70% of produce items contain pesticide residues that are linked to possible health problems. And washing only removes part of the contamination.
Ooh.
Quote, if we could detect them, we could avoid consuming them and reduce the risk of those health issues. as he is quoted as saying. Mm-hmm. His device is called PestiScanned and employs it involves measures of light that just kind of go over the food. It's just like a scan, like an you're scanning things at the grocery store or something.
Yeah, or
like
a black light kind of thing,
right,
where it shows
right.
up maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it looks like?
Yes.
It's got to show it on there, or does it just tell you, yes, pesticides detected?
Nope. It's just a little handheld thing. And it's exactly what he just scans over it. Kind of like a little, like it's almost like the size of your phone.
Okay.
And just scans over the food.
That's awesome.
Way to go, kid. It's a pretty good one. And the headline is a 14-year-old wins America's top young scientist for inventing pesticide detector.
That's so cool.
Goodnewsnetwork.org, a shout out to them for that. And young people continue to keep doing amazing things like that young man right there and these young people. A young Connecticut student is wowing classmates, students, and even state senators with her work designing cheap new air filters for classrooms. Her name is Inilda, and before she reaches her goal of becoming president of the United States, she wanted to keep her classroom free from cold and flu viruses circulating through the air. In fifth grade, she led some of her classmates in the design and build project as the Commodore MacDo STEM Academy in Middleton, Connecticut. Her idea was to create an air filter to clear the air from viruses circulating when aerosols through the classrooms, which she managed with just a box fan, four furnace filters, duct tape, and cardboard.
Wow.
She invented this with just those simple products.
Wow.
In fifth grade.
Nice.
That's pretty impressive, man. That is pretty impressive.
And it speaks to the importance of those types of classes in our schools.
Now this project is being led, as the headline tells you, middle schooler leads $11.5 million project to build air filters for Connecticut schools. Kids,
you know, because kids are amazing, and we all know that when you send your kid to school, there's a very good chance they bring something home and share it with the family. Because as we say, you know, they're living petri dishes. But when they're all in the same room together and somebody's sick, you got to expect that to happen. but this is a solution that can be applied and cheaply. You know, I mean, obviously the implementation of it wouldn't be cheap, but what she came up with was.
Yeah. Over the weekend, over the last couple of weeks, we've had on all the contestants from the Miss Wisconsin Rapids, Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen pageant. Mm-hmm. We've also, over the summer, had on some of the Hopo kids and some of the recent theater kids that were, you know, had a lot of productions going on. Mm-hmm. We've had so much of this and an influx of this over the last couple of months. And these kind of stories and all that, I feel dang good about the future. Oh, yeah. I feel pretty good about the future.
Absolutely.
Also means we can maybe retire early, take a break earlier, you know. We're not going to be able to retire, but
you know. Right? No.
No. I got one more for us here. You can find these at thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Local artists painting coconuts have become a sensation and are now found all over the world.
Whoa. Okay.
So this one is a little similar to our, trend that has been pretty big here for quite a few years of painting rocks, and you find these random rocks mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. These are coconuts. Artists come from all quarters, in all shapes and sizes, and from every race and religion. And John Pavart and his painted coconuts are a perfect example of this. The former opal miner turned painter from Australia's state of New South Wales has been painting coconut husks for years, leaving them around the beaches of Magnetic Island for tourists and travelers to find. It's become one of the chief charms of the island, even though Pavart said it started as a lark. Quote, I just happened to have a bit of art gear on me and thought I'd pick up one and paint it. He said, just kind of looking. I put it down and someone picked it up and they seemed to like it, so I just kept doing it.
Nice.
He believes he's painted about 750 of them. Wow. Over the years, and now lots of people have found them all over the world. They're in Brazil, Spain, England, even here in the States.
Oh wow, that's cool.
They're becoming more and more popular, and he's just giving them out. He's not like right. Charging anything for him or anything like that.
No, like you said, it's like the painted rocks, and you hide them, and somebody finds it, and then it moves. That's really cool.
He did say that the beaches are almost completely clear of coconuts now, though.
That could be a different problem. Mm.
But it's a fun thing that he's doing here. These look amazing. The work that he's doing on these.
Are they whole coconuts?
Yeah, yeah. They're,
okay.
Yeah, they're really nicely done. There's a good job with them and everything. Again, you can find this one and all those other articles at goodnewsnetwork.org. If you're looking for a smile, there is that. And of course, is the WFHR newsletter that are both going to give you some great news, everybody.
Yeah, do please sign up at WFHR.com or WisCountry.com.
And that right there. Yeah, that newsletter is our chance to put the spotlight, the microscope on Central Wisconsin and really focus on that. And another thing that we have of that, an extension of it, if you will, is a show coming up November 12th, Community Stories with Melissa Kay.
Yes, we are kicking it off. I mean, we've had a little bit of different upsetting, well, changes, let's just put it that way, happening, as you'll notice with our news at the top and the bottom of the hour had mm-hmm. extended. So, you know, James, I'm really hoping. we made that announcement and then other news broke. So,
right.
I'm really still shooting for the 12th. That is go time. That is the launch date for Community Stories. That will start off with the veteran series. So Community Stories, you'll hear stories from our veterans on Tuesday from 5 to 6. And then on Thursday, we're going to focus on our kids. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on, it's called Community Stories Junior. So yeah. Same show, different focus. And we're starting with young people in our STEM classes in Nakusa.
I have never met a more understanding audience than our WFHR audience. I have worked with a lot of audiences in 22 years of radio, and I have never met a better audience and a more friendly and understanding audience that gets us. And this is part of why we do real radio, why we do freeform radio here, to give you guys not only a look behind the curtain, but let you in on this and let you be a part of the station with us and a part of these shows. And what Melissa's talking about is some stuff that I'm sure you can tell if you listen to our network. work on a consistent basis, there's been some changes behind the scenes. With that, changes other things on other people's plates. So we have tentative date for this, but it may change. It may even be sooner. Who knows? Whatever the case, when we're going to have these shows for you, we're going to be able to bring you real radio right from here, from Central Wisconsin, live on the prime time. We've got prime time hours, 4 to 6 here and everything, that we're able to bring these stories to you and give you this great reporting. So while all that is going on.
It's your voices. It's your voices that are going to be telling these stories, which makes me I'm so excited, James. I really am. I cannot wait, because as I'm editing these, I'm smiling constantly. Like, you guys make me smile every time I'm working on these stories, and I can't wait to share them with you.
And it's a reminder to everybody out there, too, that once this show gets going, Melissa's going to have airtime to fill. We want more and more of those local stories.
Yeah, community stories at civicmedia.us. Email me right there if you don't want to have to figure out how to spell my name.
We're really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. And when it hits the airwaves, it's going to be one of the better things we have on this network. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Be on the lookout for that, everybody. We come back. We're going to have some fun on the morning show here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.